Peanuts, Cracker Jacks, get your Cracker Jacks right here. Who wants some Cracker Jacks? Here's a man that got Cracker Jack written all over his face right there. Here we go, Cracker Jacks. Got to have a Cracker Jack. Coming to the ball game, we got to have Cracker Jacks, Cracker Jacks. You want Cracker Jacks, you two got to come up here to the box seats in the front. That's a nosebleed. Come up here. Here we go, Cracker Jacks, Cracker Jacks. Everybody wants a Cracker Jack. Cracker Jack right there. Look at that. Boom. Cracker Jacks. Got to have our Cracker Jacks. Here we go, here we go. Cracker Jacks right here. Come on, got to have the Cracker Jacks. Right here, right here, right here. Can you hear? Can you see? Way back there, do you have binoculars? Going to give John some Cracker Jacks too. Here we go. And we got another box of Cracker Jacks right here. Let's go. All right, all right. And Cracker Jack for our lovely and talented, well, I was going to say pianist, but it wasn't a piano. So organ, piano, keyboard, whatever it may be. Welcome, welcome, welcome. First Presbyterian Church of Newhall. If you are one of those new people, please understand this is not normal. This is not the way we normally do this, okay? I am not normal. But today we're going to talk about baseball a little bit, and we're going to talk about the Bible a little bit, and some spiritual truths, and how we're going to bring the two together. But first, how far is it from home plate to first base? Who knows? Anyone? Higher, higher, come on. 90 feet, okay? How far is it from home plate to the pitcher's mound? Anyone? No baseball. Who's a baseball? Let's back up. Who's a baseball fan? Okay, one hand. Okay, okay. So for the rest of you, just be tolerant and be patient. We'll try to... I'm going to get God in here really soon, okay? So this morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Romans. And the concerns that Paul speaks about, and he speaks of, about people around him during the time. And the concerns that were important to him then are important to us today still. But before I go into that, let me first point out that sports and athletics, the theme has been used in Scripture and the Bible frequently. So it's nothing new, and it's nothing that unusual. And to make my case, I'm going to ask three young athletes to come on up, and I am going to give them a microphone, which I'm going to tell Jack to make sure it's turned on. And they're going to share that microphone. And we're going to go over a few verses in the Bible that specifically deal with similes as to sports and athletics and how they illustrate things in the Bible. So let's start. We have Hebrews 12:1. Who's got that? Loud and proud.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us.
Very good. 2 Timothy. There's more. 2 Timothy 4:7-8.
I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
Thank you. Now let's go to the Old Testament. Isaiah. Who has Isaiah? All right, let's look and see what it says in Isaiah 40:31.
But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Very good. Now, let's go back to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9. You ready? 9:24-27.
Do you not know that in a race, the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified.
And I think we have another one, 2 Timothy 2:5, correct?
Yeah. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules.
Very good. Pass it over to your sister, please. So that's my connection. That's my theme. That's the simile that's frequently used in the Bible. And it's going to play into this morning's scripture, which is from the book of Romans, and it's Romans 10, 1 through 4.
Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I can testify that they have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, and seeking to establish their own, they have not submitted to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, three young athletes. So, in Romans, Paul writes concerning his countrymen and how he sees many of them doing very good things in their lives. Paul specifically points out that zeal is something he noticed, but he's very much aware that the enthusiasm in and of itself is not enough. Paul saw certain deficiencies in their lives, and it concerned him very deeply. You see, Paul noted that the people had become ignorant of God's righteousness. This righteousness, it made their zeal fruitless. Their enthusiasm was fruitless. And as such, they were lost. They needed to be saved. They needed salvation. They needed to be delivered from sin and to understand that trust in Jesus was the only means to connect to God. Now, Jesus frequently taught by means of parables, stories. And that's what I'm going to try to do today in the parable of baseball. What I call the parable of baseball. And I have to say baseball, they say it's America's favorite pastime. It's certainly my favorite sport. And it's got to be something really intense because, you know, it's in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it says the very first, it's right there, it says, in the big inning. Okay, folks, I had that you're going to laugh in my notes here, so you have to give me a courtesy laugh on that or something, all right? So, how do I work the game of baseball into a Sunday morning sermon? What's going to be the connection to Scripture? Well, as I mentioned, the Bible often refers to the athletic arena, sports, to illustrate a spiritual truth. It was Paul who said, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Paul also states that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Simple similes to illustrate a point. So this is how I'm going to try to bring baseball to the pulpit this morning so that we can talk about specifically spiritual truths. Now, thanks to technology and our first picture, we're going to talk about the baseball diamond and we're going to look at first base and what it represents. First base represents salvation. In baseball, first base is the initial step a runner must take to get around the base path. He can't go straight to second base, he can't go straight to third base, and he can't come across home plate. He can't score until he starts and touches first base. In the life of a Christian, salvation is our first base. Paul tells us that his desire is for us to receive salvation, to reach and to touch first base. Paul says that many folks in his time were trying to save themselves, to establish their own righteousness. And not, they weren't willing to submit to God's righteousness. Now, even today, many people are doing the same thing, trying to save themselves. Some people are trying to buy their salvation with donations to the church or charitable contributions here and there. Others are depending on baptism for salvation. you know, outside of the church, I've actually spoken to people, and they truly believe that just by being baptized, that they're going to make it to heaven. And that alone will get them there, as if it's an insurance policy or something. Still others think that the act of simply going to church, showing up, is their ticket into heaven. Now, obviously, these two things are not bad in and of themselves. But apart from salvation, they just don't accomplish our goal as Christians. The book of Ephesians tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, not works, and that no one should boast. Folks, it's simple. You can't buy or earn salvation. Salvation is not for sale. It's a gift. To receive salvation, you have to touch first base. It's our greatest need. Second base. Pressing on. Second base represents joining a church. Now, I just spoke briefly about being baptized and going to church and how those acts alone, without salvation, they're not enough. That being said, they are an important step in a Christian's life. That's the way that we advance to second base. These acts are an outward sign or an outward display of our commitment to Jesus, our commitment to repent of our sin. Baptism is a symbolic purification. It's a time when a Christian, a believer, shares openly with others that they have surrendered their life to God. You know, I think that when a person receives salvation, when they reach first base, they'd want to be baptized to take the next step, to advance to second base. And if you love Jesus, then surely you should love his bride, the church. And the church is not the building. The church is right here. If you love the game of baseball, surely you love going to the game, to be in the stadium. The excitement of thousands of fans cheering alongside of you, participating with you, to, as we sang earlier, root for the home team, right? Well, when we're in here, folks, we root for Jesus. We cheer for Jesus. We participate together. Third base represents Christian service. Now, all of us have been blessed with spiritual gifts, and the Lord wants and expects us to serve him. He wants us in the game, not sitting on the bench. And God doesn't measure us by our income, but rather our outcome. God doesn't measure us by how many people serve us, but by how many people we serve. Third base is about using our gifts and our talents to serve God. Some sing, some play, some teach, some preach. You know, we have elders and deacons and more committee members that I can count at this church. And the great thing is that they all have gifts. And these gifts, they don't limit them to the church. They don't limit them to the church grounds, and they certainly don't limit them to within the church walls. These gifts are taken out into the public, and they're shared. So, for all those people, I say, God bless you. You've reached third base. Home plate. Home plate represents eternity with God. The book of Revelation tells us that God will create a new Jerusalem, a new earth. He promises us a new body that'll never get old. He tells us that sorrow and pain will be a thing of the past, and that we will live with him forever. Now, folks, for us to score, to complete our run around the bases, is the biggest promise God has ever made to us. to live in His presence forever. Corinthians 2:9 says, "No one has ever seen, no one has ever heard, no one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." Well, that completes our trip around the bases. But I want to share with you a true story about the 1924 World Series. The then Washington Senators were playing the then New York Giants. Early in the World Series, they were playing in Washington. They were the home team. And Washington had an outfielder known for being a really good hitter by the name of Goose Goslin. So Goose gets up late in the game, and it's a 2-2 tie. Goose steps in to the batter's box. He digs in. He does the typical baseball. He's ready to go. He's got the bat. He takes a ball. Next pitch, a strike. Next pitch, a ball. Next pitch, a strike. Now the count is 2-2. That means he's got one more strike, and then he's out. So the pitcher winds up. Pitcher throws the ball. Goose is ready. Goose hits the ball. He launches one. It's going high. It's going far. It's going deep. The outfielder turns. He sees the outfielder's running back. He's going to chase the ball. Goose, he's running the bases. He's running around. He's around first. He's coming to second. Outfielder's going back on the ball. Here's the wall. The ball comes in just short of a home run. It hits the top of the wall, bounces back in the playing field. Rolling around. The outfielder's still chasing the ball, trying to get the ball. Goose, he's running the bases. He's running the bases. Third base coach is waving Goose in. He's going, inside the park, home run. Go, go, go. You got it. We're going to win the game. We're going to win the game. Outfielder gets the ball. He turns. He fires it to the cutoff man, who's the shortstop. Shortstop turns. He throws the ball. The catcher's waiting at the plate. Catcher's right there. He's ready to catch the ball. Goose is coming down the line. Goose slides in. Ball comes in. Big tag. Big play. Everybody in the stadium sees that Goose slides in just in time to beat the tag. Fans are going crazy. Fans are going crazy. But there's one problem. The first base umpire comes running down the line to home plate. He looks at Goose. He points to him and he says, "You're out! You didn't touch first base." Goose, in his excitement, missed first base. Folks, as Christians, we cannot miss first base. Salvation is key. Amen?